What kind of podcast is this?
Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast.
For video games.
For video games. What am I supposed to say again? Welcome to season 3 of Bad Playstyle. This is our infinite spoiler warning. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear that Metroid is a girl. Or the Zelda's boy. There, how's that?
Yeah. We swears a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that,
you say bad words.
You can send corrections to
badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Welcome to Bad Playstyle. My name is Matt.
I'm usually it's Chapstick.
And I'm not a shame boy, not yet a shame man.
There we go.
Oh.
He did it right.
Yay.
Finally.
Like,
just in time for him to get a new one. Yeah. this is Bad Playstyle. We played Wolfenstein and
The New Order.
Wolfenstein The New Order.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I can't keep these titles straight.
They are frustratingly similar.
Yeah.
You got New Order, Old Blood, and New Colossus.
Well, and also...
Shadow of Mordor.
Also on the horizon is Wolfenstein The New Blood.
Really?
Yeah. Great.
It's about his daughters.
Great.
Shadow of the Mordor Blood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Fucking, like, name your games in a way that I can remember.
You do. You just remember all of them is the problem.
What Legos are you playing with today, Owen?
I don't know. I made like a Lego laser gun.
It's a laser gun?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big laser gun I built. And I made it for my Blacktron guys.
Okay, cool. Cool. Keenan, what games have you been playing lately?
What games have I been playing lately? Quite a few that aren't my normals.
Good. Because those are the ones I actually want you to talk about.
Yeah. So, I picked up this dumb phone game called The Muscle Hustle.
Oh, damn, I played a dumb phone game, too.
Yeah!
So, okay, I just want to stop you real quick. So, like, about, like, 2 weeks ago, the kids all played this AR game at school where they were, like, bubble-bobbling tanks into each other.
Kind
of, then all of a sudden, every fucking phone game is bubble-bobble.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, so it's fucking, it's bumper-pool with wrestlers and they have superpowers. And that's the Muscle Hustle.
Are they actual professional wrestlers?
I mean, like, not real people professional wrestlers, like... But they've, like, definitely put some effort into making wrestling personas.
So I can't get, like, Owen Hart?
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
Although there is a ridiculously Canadian dude I just got.
Oh, yeah?
His pants are the Canadian flag and everything.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so that game is dumb enough that I've been playing it.
Is he gonna hit you with a pile driver, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, maybe my phone game's not stupid in the same way yours is, then.
Things can be stupid in different ways. Yes.
And
there's
then
so many ways
my girlfriend was like, hey, you should play Overwatch with me. And I was like, I'll give that a shot. And I don't suck at Overwatch nearly as bad as I used to, so I've been playing more Overwatch. Because I don't just hate playing it.
Why did you hate playing it before?
Because I never felt like I was doing anything. Like, I never felt like I was making an impact or killing any... Like I literally would play that game, and it felt like... It felt like I had no idea what that game was about, even though I very clearly understood what that game was about, because I just couldn't get anything done.
Okay. Well, so, here's the thing. Are you playing with, like, mostly groups of friends now, or are you playing with pubs?
Just me and my girlfriend.
Okay.
And then randos. Right. But even, like, I've played a couple single player, you know, by myself, just jumped into games, and it's like, okay, I kind of understand what's going on in this game now, cool. But that game's really busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, a lot.
Yeah. I remember, like, I was like a year or two off of playing any 2F2 whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more like 3 or 4 years off playing any 2F2 whatsoever. I don't know what the timeline is. That's what I'm getting into. And then Overwatch came out and everyone was like, play Overwatch. It looks like a lot of fun. I was like, no, that looks horrible. That looks like not fun for me. Like, go ahead and you play it. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but like.
It's like TF2, but with like the needing to know all the heroes the way a mobile works.
Mm.
And so, like, there is so much to keep track of.
Like, when Overwatch came out, it made me realize how much TF2 was, like, weighted down by the way Team Fortress Classic structured their classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, in Team Fortress Classic, you are
all the classes essentially function the same mm-hmm. way, just with different weapons. With,
like, slightly different gear.
Whereas, like, in Overwatch, like, people can fly. People can turn into, like, a wheel and drive around the map. You know, people can create...
It's a hamster ball, but... Yeah.
Well,
no, he's talking about Junkrat's.
Yeah, there's a dude that turns into a tire,
No, he just pulls it off his back.
Oh, whatever.
But whatever, you're controlling a fucking explosive tire.
Yeah, like... whatever, Turrican would be proud. You know, like, you can do all kinds of weird nonsense.
Yeah. And it's all very character-driven in a way that, like, even though TF2 has characters over, like, Team Fortress Classic, it's still the same nine, no matter what. It's this whole... Yeah. It is TF2, but it totally isn't in so many ways because of its more broad character scope. And then I jump back into Siege. Because that game's cool. That's all I need to say. They put in a new operator who she throws down a projector on the ground, and it projects a hologram of her standing there staring in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's cool about it, though. When the enemy shoots it, they get lit up for your whole team about where they are. Like, there's apparently, quote-unquote, software in the hologram that triangulates where they are and tells your team.
Whatever, it's like the, it's four like the swords robot.
It's so, rad.
So is this par for the course? Like, I haven't actually ever played Siege.
Okay.
Is this par for the course in terms of its sci-fi technology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of goofy shit in that game.
Because, like, all I know of Siege is, like, you're just, like, dudes with machine guns and, like, little robots and crap.
No, but everybody has powers.
Everybody has technological powers in most cases.
Okay.
There's a dude who's,
there's,
like...
low-tech stuff, too.
Because, like, all I know of Siege is, like, basically, like, what I saw of the E3 demo before it came out.
Okay, yeah.
Which is just, like, dudes running with, like, shotguns
and that's,
crap.
Like, before they, like, really played up the, like, power
character
thing. Oh,
yeah, they turned it the fuck up in the last couple seasons.
Okay.
There's
Team Fortress 2 hats where, like, the original Team Fortress 2 hats are all just, like, actually hats. And then, like, they're the ones at launch.
Yeah.
And then, like, fast forward, like, 24 months, and, like, all the hats are, like, glowing, whatever.
It's kind of like that. There's some dumbass skins in that game now. Mm-hmm. Gun skins get dumber than player skins for, like, a balance thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it gets pretty goofy. My favorite operator in that game is a dude who's, like, 70 and still in the SAS. And he's, like, so old he was in on the, storming the Iranian embassy in the 80s. And so the dumb superpower that he has is that he's super old and has been doing this shit since everyone else was in diapers, and they gave him EMP grenades to break everyone's stupid tech toys.
Okay.
So he throws them at you to turn off your advantage to, come, like, whack you.
And then he just comes in and fucks you up.
Like, literally, you are playing as the curmudgeon who hates that you have superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My favorite thing is that, there's a character in the game called Frost.
Yes.
Who, she lays bear traps on the ground, because she's a Canadian operator, because...
Sure.
Yeah, G Gundam, right? But, she got a skin recently that makes the bear traps... Usually the bear traps are just, like, sort of flat black squares on the ground.
It's like a suitcase you open up and then it is
so
a bear
trap. It's just sort of like a flat black geometric shape on the ground. The skin makes the, like, ridges that pop up into you have spikes on them, so it actually makes it worse, because it's more visible, like, to the enemy players. Like, it's much more visible.
Because it's actually sticking up off the ground.
It has, like, a verticality to it that it didn't before. I just think that's hilarious that, like, the premium skin that you paid, like, presumably, like, $20 for.
Yeah, like, I mean,
noticeable skins, like, are a tradition, you know, dating back.
So when I play Frost, I am all white.
Sure.
I don't play Frost to blend in. I play Frost to fuck you up with bear traps and a shotgun.
Sure.
Like...
Bark, bark.
Bark, bark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the games I've played.
It's like all the safety orange rifle skins in PUBG.
Right. It's the same sort of thing, where it's like, fuck you, I'm right here! Like...
yeah,
Or the Road Flare Ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Road Flare. He's a good guy.
But, Road Flare Ensemble, I like that.
Oh yeah, that's where we all put on all the brightest red clothes that we can find. All
right.
So we just fucking stick out like glowing road flares from across the map.
Huh.
That Deadmau5 jacket really took it to the next level.
It did. It's like a red like vinyl blazer.
So like we had like the canonical Road Flare Ensemble, and then they put out that fucking hideous Deadmau5 item set for free.
Now,
and then...
are you attempting to say Deadmau5?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to address that. But, like, here's the thing is...
If we're going to say for Threer, like, we need to be consistent.
The minute you put on an armor vest with the Road Flare Ensemble, its power, like, diminishes.
Because the vest covers your red t-shirt.
But the Deadmau5 jacket is a blazer that goes over your armor.
Ooh.
And it's even brighter than the shirt.
It's bright red and shiny rather than, like, cloth material.
Oh, so it has, like...
It's like vinyl. Like, it's literally shiny.
Oh, yeah. It looks like if I put that thing on, my body would, like...
Yeah. No, you'd melt. Yeah. You'd melt immediately.
I would die.
So... Yeah, I forget what they call it, but Warframe's been doing that for a while, where they take, they've been taking old models and putting, like, new light mapping on them, basically. And so they look kind of shinier, a lot of them, like, more metal, less plastic.
Yeah. I was gonna ask if it was, like, a baby oil look.
No, not like Oblivion when you put magic on things.
Because, like, that, when I say this is my favorite, I mean it's absolutely not my favorite, but it's, like, one of my favorite video game effects. It's like, oh, you know what would make this game look good?
Baby oil.
If everything was covered in baby oil.
Yo, if you're into that, you should definitely check out some people making wrestlers in the wrestling game. Because all about...
Yeah, you can make some oily...
It is all about materials.
In that situation, I'm completely uninterested because they're supposed to look oily and sweaty.
It's better when it's out of place. You're
okay,
right.
Okay, like, I know I'm making a potential episode title here, but oil out of context is really what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I want my wooden bow to glisten.
Yeah. You want it to be so shellacked that it's...
Do you remember in Oblivion when you would enchant an item and it would suddenly be covered in, like, fucking glowing saran wrap?
Yep.
Yeah, I liked it when... I actually unironically liked it when you would enchant clothes and it would give it, like, a velvet sheen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In Oblivion?
I think it was in Oblivion, yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Skyrim? Because in Oblivion, when you enchanted stuff, it looked like it was covered in plastic.
I remember doing it with the Dark Brotherhood stuff in Oblivion.
Alright.
I like that look. Anyway.
Whatever. I purchased Fallout 4 VR, which is an unfinished weekend project that somebody... Bethesda thought was a good idea.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you pay $60 for it?
I did not.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
I did not pay $60 for it. That was the thing that caused me to buy it, was that it wasn't $60. Yeah. So, there's cool stuff, and I'm having fun, but it's very disheartening that it is a Bethesda project. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the biggest thing, where it's like...
Did they build a map first again?
No, well, basically, so... I was reading an interview, because I was trying to figure out how to do a certain thing, where they were like, hey, how come Skyrim VR has every single DLC included with it, and Fallout 4 has none of them? And they were like, well, we built them off the Game of the Year editions, so we just kind of... And they're like, do you guys have any plans on putting those in? And he was like, made a really, like, non-committal answer that means no, right? Like, so, it was like, oh.
I mean, well, it's a, I'm going to get in trouble with the PR department
if I say anything. Yeah. But it's like, but it's just definitely, it's obvious that it's no. Like, the thing's been patched 3 times, and it's been patched by the community, like, 1,600 times.
Sure.
You know, like, so, just to give you an idea, and like, the DLCs all work, but they're horribly incompatible.
Sure.
So, like, there's just, like, missing textures all over the place and stuff. There's multiple projects trying to, like, fix that.
Yeah, fucking sew it together.
But it's, like, it's really cool being in those environments in VR. Like, things pop out a lot more, right? Like, the VR thing. So, like, I'm walking through an environment, and I can I'm doing the surfing around movement of the teleporting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move incredibly fast in that.
Sure.
And it actually gives me a reason to have a bayonet on my gun.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, bayonets on my guns were always like, why? Get the fuck out of here. This is stupid.
Why would I want an accuracy debuff and I'm never going to hit anyone with this thing?
Yeah, and then the way they do scopes is cool. Like, you put it up to your face and it just transitions into just a scope and everything else is black.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is kind of nice. There was a glitch, though, the other day. I was looking through the scope and I, like, looked around the scope into the blackness and I saw a red glowing name. Sort of behind some textures
You were aiming at them, but...
Well, I was aiming, like, close enough to them, and it was like, they're here! And I was like, and I, like, found them through the scope because of that, right? Like, and we weren't, like, technically in combat at that point. So that was kind of fun. And then... Yeah, but I have zero interest in using VATS in VR. Zero interest.
Sure.
In using VATS in VR. I want to do...
Well, and, like, the shooting in those games has been good enough that you don't need to...
It's actually... So, the... You feel incredibly inaccurate because of the, like, built-in bullet spread. So I actually had to install a mod to make the guns more accurate.
Okay.
So,
Yeah, I wouldn't want that type of spread if I'm playing it in VR.
Yeah, because it just feels like I'm fucking like, up for no reason.
Like, I already got, like...
Why does this gun not shoot straight?
I already have human hand-eye coordination.
Right, right, I don't need...
Like, I miss enough on my own.
Yeah, yeah. So that was cool, and there was a cool part. I went up to... There's one of the spots where there's a bunch of, like, camping cabins full of ghouls.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Okay. And I went up to one, and I'm like, I know there's ghouls in this thing, and they're gonna... When I open the door, they're gonna freak out at me. That's so I just leaned through the window, pulled my gun out, and just popped them both through the window. And that was like, that felt really cool.
That's good. That's like a good zombie movie moment.
Yeah.
Too. Or like what I feel like I would be able to accomplish in a real zombie apocalypse is like...
It was like one of those aha moments that you feel in puzzle games, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I feel really smart for doing this, but then there's also the sort of detriment of like, this is just because of poor planning on Bethesda's part. This wasn't like a thing.
It'd be because this is a game that's built to be a monitor game first.
Right, right. And there was another point at which I came up to one of those, you know, those doors in dungeons. They're like, this is barred from the other side. Like, yeah. It's the end of the circle in the dungeon. There was one that was like a barricade thing, and there's no like comfort vignette in Fallout 4 VR, so you can just lean through walls. Oh, so okay. I just leaned through the fucking door and broke the chain and opened the door. That was kind of cool, too.
You just, like, kitty pried your way through the door.
Yeah, and like, there's a lot of VR, like, melee games where you need to be swinging the sword or the melee weapon at, like, a certain speed. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, a certain cooldown before you can hit again.
Yeah, before you can, like, result
in another hit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are wildly out of tune in Fallout 4 VR. So if I, like, flail a knife at somebody, I hit them, like, 16 times and they die.
Nice. Right? So, it's what you expect it to be the first time you play a melee game.
Right, right, VR. Right, right. So, because it's very obvious that this is sort of, like, a rush job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. I'm actually thinking about turning on survival mode.
Oh, okay.
So that there's more stakes, you know, involved in this. Cause
stakes, because you have to eat, I get it.
Yeah, and, well, no, that's not what I was... I found myself...
Fuck off with that shit.
I found myself not wanting to fast travel.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, interesting.
And I don't really know why, maybe it's like an immersion breaking thing or something, but just like, I've been wandering around in my power armor just with like a pipe rifle, right? Yeah. A pipe rifle since it's a rifle, but since it's VR, I use it like a CQB pistol, too. So, like, I'll just, like, aim at my crotch when things run up on me in melee and just, like, unload the clip.
Sure.
And because it's a pipe rifle, you undoubtedly have miles of ammunition for
like,
it.
Every time I run into Raiders, they're all using 32, so there we go. But, yeah, it's been interesting. I'm interested to try out Skyrim now.
Oh yeah,
I wasn't before. Like I was interested in Fallout 4 VR because of the guns.
How far do you think you'll ever get in Fallout 4?
That's
VR?
The other thing that happened. I played it a bunch today, but I played it like three separate times for an hour each, and at the end of each session, I was exhausted.
Sure,
like
because like I can't imagine playing a game like Fallout 4 in 1 to 2 hour sections.
Well, and it's completely through. Against like Bethesda's design philosophy, right? They're the Facebook of games. They want you to be in their game as long as they can get you there.
Right.
And then, so like it's this like complete antithesis of what they normally do in a way that's weird.
So just to give you an idea, the first session, the first hour today, right around 1, I'd say, I was playing, I stood the entire time.
Okay.
Right, I stood in VR mode. And my calves sort of started to hurt at the end, so I stopped playing. And then the second time was a dungeon crawl. I did the airbase where you're supposed to go get the locket for the dude at the farm. At the beginning, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
People will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't
about.
Remember shit from Fallout 4. Well,
so,
that's not true, but...
I had to get the locket. He's like, oh, these raiders killed my daughter. And I was like, well, I will kill some raiders. Like, sure, man. So I went and I killed those dudes. I did the entire thing sitting down.
Okay.
In stealth. Like, I had my gun, and I had my dog, and I was literally sitting down in stealth mode, just going, and if I saw somebody, I just unloaded into them, because I would be, like, right up next to them.
Sure.
And that was that. And then as soon as the fighting part was over, and I had to exit the dungeon in the same linear path backwards, but loot it this time, I didn't want to stand up, so I quit.
Oh.
I saved and quit.
Damn.
And then the third time...
That's kind of damning.
Yeah, right? And then the third time, I pulled out a chair. So I was like, I was sitting down, but I was at like a high enough height that I could... And I readjusted. They have, you know how like Griffin and them, and when they're in Fallout, they'll, like, change the player scale of, like, creatures and stuff. In the VR menu, you have a slider that just does that to you.
Oh, okay.
So you can adjust it to, like, what you're comfortable at.
Okay.
You know? And so I adjusted it a little bit higher so that sitting down I was, like, normal height.
Interesting.
And then just rolled around like that.
It's an option I haven't seen in a VR game.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I like that option.
It's sort of weird thinking about this because it makes me wonder, like, how many other games are going to have tacked on VR and how far does that go?
Well, like, but it's like every... every studio wants to, like, get their feet wet and learn how to VR.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why there's a lot of, like, shallow VR games or shooting galleries or taking existing games and bolting VR onto them. Like, mm-hmm. that's why VR Payday exists,
mm-hmm.
is because...
VR like, Payday is fucking fun.
Well, sure, but, like, that studio wants to have the chops to make a VR game.
Sure.
And so, like, here's...
And so they use their existing game
here's a way for them to get their, workshop that. Here's a way for them to get their feet wet. It has low stakes. No one has to buy Payday VR.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try Payday VR, you can. And if it sucks ass, no one's going to fucking crucify them for making a bad VR
game. Well, and same for Bethesda, right?
Yeah.
Like, these are both very successful games for them already. It's a good framework for them to slap this into and figure out how it works, because they know how all of it works already.
People in Fallout 4 look fucking weird and alien.
Yeah.
But, like, even more in VR.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's turned up. So, like, you're like, why do you have, like, a fucking, like, Star Trek alien bird face, dude?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? What did you eat?
I could see that because I feel like the camera angle from a monitor standpoint in Fallout 4 is very flat. So as soon as you put that, like, depth into it, I could see stuff getting
weird. It's also, you are always in first person.
That's what I mean.
Right?
Like,
in Fallout 4, normally, you pop into third person when you're in conversations and stuff. That doesn't happen.
Can you imagine if a game like Brink was a VR game? Where people have, like,
they have the giant noses.
Yeah, the super weird. Like,
why aren't you making Skeksis noises, guys?
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, what's the most, like, fucked up trying to pass as human facial design I can think of? And by the way, I'm not, like, calling the art style in Brink fucked up. Like, it's, like, their own thing.
Right. It worked for the game.
Yeah, exactly. But just, like, seeing that in like, with your own eyes, like being present.
Yeah, that'd be intense.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I'll be playing it more in the future because I'm still having fun with it.
Cool.
So we can check back in next time. But, yeah, what have you been playing, Chapstick?
Hey, it's your boy Chapstick.
It's your boy.
Yeah.
Chapstick.
Like, comment, and subscribe on my videos. No,
Oh, boy. If you liked the video, subscribe. If you didn't like the video, September 12th, Judkins Park, noon. Okay?
Fight me.
Yeah.
Fight me.
I got a phone game, and it's called Really Bad Chess.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like this name.
It's extremely good.
I've seen it on the store, so I'm curious.
Yeah, you should get it. It's extremely good.
Okay.
This is a paid game? Or
no,
is
well,
game?
It's a free game, and you can, like, buy the ads away.
Okay.
That's a good model, everyone.
Yeah, it's good. I'm on the fence if I'm gonna buy it or not. But I hate chess. I hate playing chess because
chess is not a game.
It's a huge pain in the ass to get good at chess, and it's a lot of it's a lot of memorization, a lot of learning.
There's a lot of grind at chess.
Yeah,
turns out.
Does Dota have a chess problem, or does chess have a Dota problem?
I hate both those games. So
for similar reasons,
artifacts.
Really Bad Chess gives you a randomized set of pieces and your opponent a randomized set of pieces.
Okay, but I like chess variants a lot, so I like where this is going.
But it's on a difficulty slider, so the lower the slider is, the more stacked in your favor the board is at the start. So if you play it at zero level difficulty, you'll start with, like, 5 queens and 3 knights and only, like, 4 pawns.
Okay.
You still start with 16 pieces.
And you're playing against a computer every time.
Yeah. Okay. And the computer also gets, like, a randomized board state.
Okay.
And so, like, playing on the low difficulties is, like, super fun because, like, I can play, like, an impulsive idiot who can't see more than, like, 2 moves ahead.
Okay.
Because, like, I have the tools I need to succeed, like, when I wouldn't
otherwise. If you have more than 1 queen in chess, like...
Okay, but, like, what if I have 5?
Okay.
If you have 5, you can lose 3.
Yeah.
Even 4.
If I have 5 queens, I can trade 2 queens to take their 1. And then, like, that's a come up for me.
Because he doesn't lose that offensive power immediately.
Yeah, so I was playing on the lowest difficulty at first and just, like, having a great time. And
now, okay, at what point does this paradigm shift in the difficulty scale?
Well, I'm getting to that. This is my story. I realized at one point if I trade any piece that's not a pawn or a queen for any piece that's not a pawn or a queen with them at any opportunity, even if it's trade, or if I trade them any like face piece or whatever, mm-hmm. it's a come up for me because I just have more queens than them.
Sure.
And so like I can just like make the most aggressive trades possible. and then just eventually their army is so whittled down and I right. still have so, so much left. You just
win by attrition.
Yeah. And once I realized like that's basically what I was doing, it got like a lot less fun and I actually felt tempted to like start creeping up this difficulty slider. Have you
creeped it up from zero at all?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm up on 5 and it's out of 20.
Okay.
And I think I could go up to 10 right now. I haven't done 10 yet, but 5 is easy enough for me that okay. I think I can keep going.
It's an interesting approach to chess to do it that way mm-hmm. because I feel like you start understanding the value of things in a different way that now I'm curious like how that translates to regular chess.
Oh, I'm sure this probably in no way makes me a good chess player. like when, this probably this is like going to like really swimming lessons. Chess. This is like going to swimming lessons and like learning to swim wearing water wings. Like,
right.
You're actually going to learn to swim very badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're going to probably be a worse swimmer.
Sure.
Because you come to depend on these things. But I don't know, man. Like there's something like the 5-year-old in me really enjoys that I can...
But it's like clusterfuck of pieces. And...
Well, no, there's like this specific experience. I can put my opponent in check on the first turn sometimes. Because you'll get like bishops in your front line. And so like first move, you just zoom across the board and take out a piece and put their king in check. And like you'll lose the bishop, but like...
It doesn't matter. They're already on their back foot.
First turn check, motherfucker. Yeah. Also, the game does this great thing where... like, the computer has to think on its moves, right? Mm-hmm. And depending on, like, what you did, it takes longer or shorter to think. And I have no idea if this is actually the computer thinking or if this is, like, an artifact. Like,
built in.
I think it's actually real because, like, there's definitely some times where the computer had to think very mm-hmm. hard about what it was going to do. And
that's really interesting, too.
Ordinarily, that would bother me. That I was like, why am I waiting? Like, fucking do your move already, nerd.
No,
but there's all these times where, like...
There's a satisfaction.
There's a satisfaction, yeah. Like... Yeah, bitch. Like, what are you gonna do?
Like, yeah, it's like slapping the chess clock back like 1 second after they slapped it.
Yeah,
and they have to spend like 20 seconds being like, wait, what?
Yeah,
what just happened? Oh, I just missed some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
I wonder what kind of AI they have behind it. My brain.
Also, there's like you can undo moves. You know, it's like ultimate good. Dummy chess.
Yeah, awesome.
There's like a ranked mode where you don't get undos and stuff like that.
Oh,
and you can also play it one-on-one, like with real people.
Okay,
and I think those are paid features. I just play the free play because like that's sure. all I want.
Why not?
And then I don't know. That's about it. I played Donut County. That came out yesterday, I think. Okay. That's like a weird Katamari Damacy game where. You control a hole in the ground that swallows up objects, and the more objects you swallow, the bigger your hole gets. You guys saw it. Like, you guys came in yeah. here and I was
yeah.
playing it.
Yeah. We tried to peer pressure Keenan into letting us play it.
It's weird and charming.
Yeah, it is weird and charming, and it's very funny. But, I don't know. That's all I got to say about it.
Sure.
It's a real chill-out game. It's not hard at all or anything.
Is it Wolfentime? Did you
I'm
not?
Upset.
You didn't like that?
I'm upset.
Spoilers, if you haven't played Wolfenstein, the new old Order Blood, then the first one.
Blood to Order,
made to order. Now's the time to back the fuck out, because we're going to talk about...
We're going to talk the shit out of this game!
We're going to talk about Totenkopf.
Yeah.
So Wolfentimes, I just want to start out by saying, I did enjoy this game, so the following, you should bear that in mind.
Okay.
This game aged like... a dog turd that came out white.
Okay.
I think that it shows its cracks really, really hard. And especially coming from the perspective of someone who the last first-person shooter they played was Doom 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, the last this type of thing. It's definitely really obvious.
This game's only 2 years older than that.
Sure. But it's very obvious that, like, they learned a lot from this game.
This is a different studio.
Sure. But they learned a lot from this game and applied it to... Doom, right? Like, they were like, so this thing kind of works, almost, and then there you go. Like, I can't find enemies before they find me. I always find them because they're shooting me. Which,
yeah,
I think that's a problem.
The stealth in that game is really on or off. Like, you either sneak through the whole level, or a loud gunshot happens and everyone runs at you in the entire level.
Well, like, no, not just, and that's another problem I have. Not everyone in the level runs at you. Everyone in the level plus 200% guys who came from nowhere.
Yeah.
Including areas that you'd already cleared.
Mm-hmm.
So that's annoying.
Yep.
Yeah, that's I needed to get that off my chest. Hey, Owen, you like this game? Talk about this game.
I like this game a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually, so like you brought up the reaction of enemies to like breaking stealth, mm-hmm. right? Like, I actually like that this game's stealth is just slight enough that, at least in my experience, I have never felt compelled to restart a level because I broke stealth. That like the rewards are not so delicious to playing stealthy.
Okay.
And the stealthiness is like just slight enough that I never really want to commit to doing it. That it's like anytime a mission starts in stealth, like I'll do it and I'll do it until I fuck up. And then I'm going to fucking shoot my machine gun at people.
It's that loop of, like, in GTA, right? Like, you do things clean, and then there's a point where, like, I need to blow up 9 cop cars right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, well, it's that, but in this game.
The game I was sort of likening it to in my head is the way XCOM 2, you start in concealment. And any mission in XCOM 2 where you start in concealment, like, I've finished a few missions, like, super stealthy. But, like, quite frankly, any XCOM 2 mission where you start in concealment, ultimately, the plan is to end the mission not in concealment. Yeah.
Concealment is a resource, not
a state. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I always mentally approached being in stealth in Wolfenstein the same way.
Okay. Yeah. And there's so many things in Wolfenstein that demand, like, rock and roll ass shit.
Sure.
I really liked your point about the rewards for stealth not being so great that you feel the need to restart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that ultimately being like, ah, fuck, and restarting the game and, like, reloading your save. Ultimately, that's a failure
of the design.
Because it's a cooperative failure between you and the designer,
mm-hmm.
right?
So. I mean, like, I don't know if I have a problem with that. Like, if I fuck up in Hitman, like that's.
But like that's like a stealth game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I guess the sort of thing that they're going for makes it okay, right? Whereas, like, there's been first person shooters I've played where it's been like. You know, I really want to do this stealth thing, even though the other thing's an option.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, yeah. I was just about to say that. Like, Deus Ex is, like, a game where, like, you can play it stealth. And if you, like, switch that switch in your head that, like, I want to play this game stealth, mm-hmm. like, it'll drive you to restart missions
right.
or load saves or whatever.
So, I came back to this game because you'd picked it. And I was like, okay, I'll play that again. Just remembering, like...
Yeah, so Keenan and I have played this through before.
Yeah, you guys should talk, because you talked about this briefly last time, but you guys should...
Yeah.
So I forgot how fucking narrative this game is. Like, just in general.
Well,
like,
my favorite part of this game is where it's an adventure game and not a shooter.
Yeah, like, like, there is so much, like, weird flavor and character in this game that I'd completely forgotten about. Even though half those people are in the second game that I literally played last year, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's interesting because... I remember when this game came out, we were all like, wait, what? A Wolfenstein game has a good story? What the fuck? When it happened. But at the same time, like, even coming back, I'm like, oh yeah, this is still a pretty good story. Like,
I feel uncomfortable calling it a good story just because that's reductive. It is a really incredibly dumb story, but it is an engaging and mm-hmm. fun one. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, but Wolfenstein games before this didn't even try
it. No, they didn't even try it at all.
Right, which is what I'm saying.
Well,
like,
what was the last Wolfenstein game before this you played?
Return to Castle.
Yeah, like
which is a Quake Engine, like...
All I'm saying is, like, I feel like we may even be talking out of our ass a little bit, because, like, there's, like, an era of Wolfenstein games, like, I didn't even touch.
Fair.
I think I've played most of them for, like, at least an hour.
Did you play, like, the 09 one?
Maybe.
What was the 09 one?
It's the last one before this one.
Okay. I definitely didn't play that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've played most of them, but I don't remember all... Like... The thing about Wolfenstein is that it is incredibly forgettable, even now with these games.
I don't think these games are forgettable. I
forgot a lot, it turned out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay, I thought it was, like, weird.
Yeah, there's some pretty forgettable stuff that goes on, but there's also some pretty, like...
There's stuff
that sticks with you, but there's a lot that sort of just is like, yeah, like, just let it wash over me. This game really reminded me in its flow of the Diagon de Welt. What was the game, the spy game that you made us play?
Oh, I can't can't think of what it's called.
The
right
Eyes
now.
Of the World.
You know? I remember the game. I don't remember the name.
Is it Neon?
Neon Struct.
Neon Struct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was Neon Struct, but I, for some reason, thought that was wrong. Anyway, yeah, so there was like, you know, you'd do the action sequence, and then you'd go to a place where you were utterly sure that there would be no action, and you're just talking to people.
Yeah, yeah, because, like,
right.
The protagonist's gun goes away, you know, and it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So if someone attacks me right now, it's because the story commands that someone has attacked me.
Right. That was a really fun thing for me because I was exploring the like resistance base under Berlin, and I ran into one of those chains that you cut apart, and I'm like, well, I definitely don't have my chain thing right now.
Yeah,
so this base is definitely getting attacked.
Yeah, like it telegraphs stuff a lot in a way that I thought was fun. So Owen, did you save the private this time?
Oh, yeah, so last time, so the first time I played it, I saved Fergus.
Yeah.
Because Fergus is the best.
Fergus is pretty cool.
Fergus, I like Fergus more as a person.
Yeah.
Wyatt, it turns out, so the reason I didn't save Wyatt on my first playthrough is because he just seems like a little white bread farm boy.
And he has, like, nothing interesting about him in the moments before that.
Yeah, like, your introduction to him is he has, like, two lines.
Yeah, he's the
like, oh, jeez, thanks, mister!
And he's the one behind the ears private.
Yeah, yeah. He does literally nothing and contributes nothing, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so Totenkopf's gonna kill one of these guys. Which one of these guys is gonna be more useful as a resistance member later? Oh, guess what? The guy's been doing this for literally ever.
Yeah, the guy who, like, talked me through
jumping into
another plane. Yeah. You know,
me,
like,
son of the Doom Slayer. Like... Yeah. Father of.
So, fuck that shit. It's like those people who want every Zelda game to be connected.
No, but there are things about this game that are very proto-Doom.
Sure.
In a lot of ways.
But, like, see, on my first playthrough, I saved Fergus because I thought Wyatt seemed lame.
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing.
And on this playthrough, I confirmed that Wyatt is exactly as lame as he seems. Like,
yo,
like,
but Jimi Hendrix is dope.
Yeah, but, like, that's the bullshit thing about the dichotomy of, like,
yep.
picking who to save is the thing that makes Wyatt's playthrough cool has literally
nothing to do with Wyatt. Yeah.
Is that literally Jimi Hendrix lives in your base, and you get to drop acid with him and hang out with him.
Instead of Weird Math Lady, it's Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Oh, was it the Math Lady? It wasn't Max Haas?
Yeah.
No,
Max Haas is dope.
Okay. Yeah, he's in both.
Okay.
Max Haas is in the second game.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Right. No, Max Haas is great.
I thought it was the Nazi and Max Haas as a combo were the characters that you got for picking Fergus. But it was Math Lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who I actually like a lot.
Yeah, she was fine,
but I was very confused in my playthrough why she never interacted with anyone but me, and why she never contributed in any meaningful way to the resistance at all,
well, Jimmy's
and
the
why
same
she
way.
Wasn't on any missions, and now that I understand that she was like a special character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are both removed from the group as a result of being the swing point.
Some of her dialogue where she's, like, expositing this philosophy, the guy who's read books, was like, I understand the thing. I actually do understand the things
you're
saying.
I get where you're going.
And you have reached the incorrect conclusion. Could I please tell you how you've reached the incorrect conclusion?
But you're BJ, but and BJ's he don't
like,
know.
BJ's like, oh, I'm gonna go fuck a lady with non-rendered hair. I'm gonna see you later. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff where, like, the guns and, like, the feel of this game... It doesn't help that Mick Gordon did the soundtrack, right?
Sure.
But there's a ton of stuff where I'm like, yo, Doom definitely borrows some themes here. Like, anytime you do, like, a melee takedown in that game, I'm immediately in glory kill mode in my head.
Sure.
Like, it's just that shit, like, all over the place in a way that's really funny to me.
Like I love the canned animations when you do melee takedowns, because, like, there's, like, this part of me that's living out, what's the name of the actor from Inglourious Basterds? The guy who plays Hugo Stieglitz.
Yeah.
The everyone in the German army has heard of Hugo Stieglitz. Yeah. Like, he just, like, fucking mercs a kid with a dagger in the basement in that movie. And so, like, there's a part of me that's, like, living that out every time I creep up on a Nazi officer, and it's, like, ankle, throat, stomach, like...
Yeah.
And, like, turn them into
never,
a
He never hits them just once.
Yeah.
It's never, like...
Oh, no, and it's, like, a real hateful thing. Like, you can feel it, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can feel the anger in it.
I really like, I remember liking them a lot the first time, and still, like, oh, yay, these are still
here. Yeah, yeah, they never got old to me.
So, like, all the recordings
one of, the
of What's-Her-Face's cousin?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love those, where she's, like, literally just, like, fucking Nazis and killing them all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude, you missed, like, one of the best parts of the game.
Did you listen to all of them, Keenan?
I've listened to all of them, yeah.
Okay, so it's not her cousin.
Oh, is it her?
It's her.
Okay.
It's about when she went to college, and she's a fucking serial killer.
Yeah, like, she's been killing Nazis for, like, 10 years.
She's been, like, low-key murdering Nazis for, like,
you're talking about your girlfriend?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, like, I was wondering why she lacked all characterization. So, it must have been because they wrote it all into that part. She seems pretty flat, that's all I'm saying. I should, yeah.
So, the thing about that game is, and you said it earlier, it's very... It's a era.
It's very era
because so much of the expository shit in that game comes out in the collectibles and the, like, the stuff you're getting throughout the game handed to you.
I think there's also just, like, a cool amount of just, like, back matter that you can paw a little bit. There's, like all the newspaper clippings on the wall and all the set dressing, like, when you're in the London Nautica. They never call him by name, but, like, the London Nautica is clearly run by Wernher von Braun.
Yeah.
There's a big statue
of him at the beginning,
And he even, like, there's a quote of him talking about his childhood and things like that. Like, and, like, if you don't know, Wernher von Braun, rocket scientist for the Third Reich, he's the mastermind of the American space program in the 60s, but, like, even... when he lived in Germany, he had grand designs for sending people into space and colonizing other planets. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called Die Mars Project,
mm-hmm.
Which, like, is played out, frankly,
in
Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Yeah, because you go to the moon and it's there.
Well, and there's the Die Venus Project.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which they hint at in one, and you go to it in two.
And there's so much stuff where, like, there's, like, one part where you hear, like, a radio broadcast and it, like, reads a quote from a, quote, anonymous poet. And just, like, the way they build that world and the way they like to pluck things out of real history and, like...
There's a Beatles song in German. There's House of the Rising Sun in German.
That's,
like,
not a Beatles song.
Those are both... two different songs. Like, I don't remember what Beatles song it is because I don't speak enough German. But...
So it's not a real Beatles song. Okay. No, I'm serious. It is a song written in the tone of the Beatles.
It does its job then.
Yeah.
But there is House of the Rising Sun in German.
Yeah, it's written as, like, a German polka song. Mm-hmm. And then the fake Beatles song is called Mund, Mund, Ja, Ja, which means, like, Moon, Moon, Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Not a real Beatles song.
Sure, yeah.
Whatever.
And they're called...
But it totally feels like one.
But this, like, the, like, there's, like, that quote by the anonymous poet, and it's, like, when I'm hearing that, it's, like, okay, they're probably pulling this from, like, this is, like, a thing. This isn't just, like, anonymous nonsense.
The first time you guys played this game, did you ever find yourself getting lost in levels frequently? As far as, like, not knowing what to do next, or not knowing where the button was, or, like, missing the button.
It's really good at not showing you the button sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, not knowing which grate to saw open.
I never had a problem with that. Like,
I had a problem with that.
There's a number of times where, like, in missions, I wouldn't know immediately what to do and would, like, figure it out, like, relatively quickly. Also, like, if you really can't find it, the game will just, like, highlight it after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. That I found myself getting lost frequently in these levels of, like, not knowing which way to go or what to do, or, like, getting the wrong, like, the game did a very bad job of communicating to me what verbs I needed to use in the game to move the game along.
Okay.
And, like, at what points it was appropriate to use those. Because it's like, here's this laser saw. You can completely ignore it until you can't. And then you need to use it.
Okay. Right? I never had a problem with knowing when to use the laser craft work, but
that's just an example. There was times where it's like, you know, you go to this room and it should be obvious what to do, and I'm in there and I'm like, it's not obvious what to do. And after, like, 2 or 3 minutes I'll find the button that was, like, looked like every other piece of thing, but this one's suddenly interactable.
There is a thing I found this playthrough that I completely missed last time that would have very much changed the way I played.
Mm.
The first time I played through the game, I loved using the big mounted machine guns that you can rip out of their mouths. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I love using this, because, like, it's just a dumb power fantasy. Like, I have the big heavy machine gun, and I'm going to waddle around slow as fuck.
I'm the big dumb American killing hella Nazis.
If you take those things up to the laser craftwork recharging stations, you can recharge those.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Like, I never picked up on that the first time. They never tell you. It's just that it has the same ammo gauge as the laser craftwork.
I picked up on that, which made the moon level really easy, because I was like, oh, I already know how to...
Get my
fucking ammo back.
I wanted the moon pistol the rest of the game. The white moon pistol the rest of the game.
The Moonraker laser?
No,
they give you a pistol.
They give you a pistol that's the same pistol, but it's white, and I wanted that thing to be my pistol the rest of the game. But, no dice.
It would have been cool if they even carried that over into, like, the second game.
Yeah.
It's like BJ's space gun.
Yeah, that'd be a cool, like, touchstone, you know? Everyone's outfits were, like... I don't think they translated very well from the concept art. They're a little busy, like, what's going on?
Like, actually, the outfits actually remind me, like, this game in a lot of ways reminds me of playing, like, Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And the character design is also that way.
Right.
Like,
everybody has very short hair, too, was the thing I was
It was like, do we want to invest in hair tech this game, or do we want to invest somewhere else? Okay. Yeah. Okay, everyone's got, like, buns and, like, simple hair.
Yeah.
And, like, the few times where they try and get kind of wild with the hair, it kind of shows that their hair tech, like, ain't... Like, Jimmy's hair don't look great. You can definitely tell that, like, Jimmy's hair is, like, a series
There's the black flat... dude from the prison whose hair is just, like...
Oh, yeah.
It looks real bad.
Bombata?
Yeah.
I love Bombata.
Oh, he's great.
He's the shit.
His outfit's a little confusing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's, like, barely in one, so, yeah, if he's not in two,
it's
I'm a little
really
mad.
It's really weird to me that the submarine is so undefined in the first game.
Yeah. So the submarine's your hideout in the second game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But it's like the submarine in the second game, like, has character the way the hideout does, right? Sure. Like, it is...
So you're in it for, like, 10 minutes.
It's in this, like, lived-in place. In the first game, the submarine, like, super doesn't matter. Like, is it the same submarine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you use it to shoot down the wall of his castle.
Yeah.
Because it had, like, 1,000 dudes
That red space magic... orb thing.
I wanted to say, like... I never, ever wanted to use any weapon other than the assault rifle, which is, I think, a testament to how the assault rifle feels.
It's a very good gun.
It's a very good...
It feels really good, but then there's this, like, there's this precipitous drop-off where there's this point in the game where suddenly there are enemies who need multiple clips of assault rifle emptied into them before they'll die, and I think the game does a very bad job of communicating with me what the damage state of an enemy is.
Yeah, that's definitely... Especially with the big robot enemies, like...
Well, so like, with the robot dog that you have to fight in your base, that was a particular gripe of mine, because earlier in the game, in the intro, where you have to, like, shoot that off of where Fergus and all the other Marines are, he says it's immune to small arms.
He literally
states that. And so when I'm in there, I'm like, okay... What do I have? And I think, like, I eventually whittled it down with the laser craft work, the little bit that recharges, but it took, like, 10 minutes of me, like, shooting this thing, and the whole time I'm like, am I damaging it? I don't know. Its character model is not changing at all.
Especially that enemy in particular, the Panzerhound or whatever, there's definitely...
So you spend the whole game running from it.
Yeah, there's definitely times in the game where they use it, they basically use it like it's the fucking Xenomorph.
Right.
You know, it'll just spring out, and you're supposed to run away from it for this section.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to, if it pops out here, you just can't go down that hall, and you have to find a different way through. Like, that happens in your base.
Right, so I think it happens multiple times. It's like a cool catharsis moment, right?
Yeah.
And there's a part right before you kill it where you do basically the same thing but lower stakes. No, it's that sets up... That sets up the boss fight with Totenkopf. Of, like, you're not going to be able to see that the enemy's taking damage, but it is. Just keep shooting it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It sets up that idea, which is cool, between those two scenes. But that scene with the dog running around in the bottom of the base in the hangar bay, then juxtaposed with the rest of the game, is bad communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I remember on my first playthrough...
It's making you unlearn a lesson that it hard taught you.
I remember the first time I played through the game, when I got to the helicopter bay at the London Nautica, like, you have to fight that big robot before you can leave.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, the first time, like, I had this moment of, like, shooting at it and fighting it and, like, not really getting, like, is my gun doing zero damage to it?
Yeah, there's zero feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... I wish I could remember if the second game remedies this at all, but, like, honestly, the second game is as much a whirlwind as this game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I played it
in, I think the tech in the second game does a better job of, like, armor starts flaking off of things. You get a better feel for...
Yeah. Well, definitely, like, the individual Nazi troopers, if you shoot them when their whole, once their whole chest becomes just, a horrible gore show, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, but the bigger enemies are difficult.
Mm-hmm. And then they take an exceptionally exorbitant amount of bullets to kill.
I think they sort of remedy it in the DLC to this game, which is actually a prequel.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was really interesting. So, like, the beginning of this game is, like, set in the 40s, and it's, like, the first, like, 20 minutes of the game, and then it's set in the 60s. So all the weapon assets and all the soldier assets don't get used anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's really spendy.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just, like... Like, all the soldiers, all the guns, all the tanks, all the robots of the era. And so it's, like, it's really crazy that they did that. And it's, like, no, of course, they made, like, a standalone DLC that's set in the 40s where all the
enemies... Where you actually go to Castle Wolfenstein. Yeah.
Keenan theorized that that those two things were one game and that they were chopped apart at some point during development.
Yeah. I think the New Blood has a more compelling storyline and also is good because it's not what you expect.
Right, but then this game needs to come first because it is what you expect, as far as, like, an introduction to the series.
Okay.
So. There's also some shit in the New Blood that, like, they couldn't have gotten away with before the New Order, or the Old Blood.
I mean, it
there's some weird, fucking, dumb, paranormal shit in the New Blood.
Oh, I know, you fight, like, a demon at the end or
yeah,
something,
like,
right?
Yeah, like, there's some shit in that game where it's, like, it's definitely, like... Raiders of the Ark, Lost Ark, Nazis getting into occult shit, like, stuff. There's fucking zombies all over that game.
Sure.
And that wouldn't fly without that having been a thing already. Like, it's a weird thing.
So, I wanted to briefly touch on the Hebrew scientist man.
Hell yeah.
Set Roth?
Yeah, Set Roth. So, he is a... He hams it up in a way that makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, his whole, like, peppering in of like, Yiddish words.
Sure.
And, like, the whole way that he speaks.
He's a bit much.
It's a little bit too much for me to be comfortable with. It feels... It doesn't feel like you're honoring that. It feels like you're just sort of poking fun at it. It feels like it crosses the line. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that's just me.
It didn't feel that way to me, just because, like, I he's one of the characters I feel a lot of warmth to. Like
I no, like I definitely him like him.
Yeah.
I definitely like him, but I'm definitely like, really?
He's better. Really? You get more of him in the second game. Well, to, like,
I'm not talking about the second
game. I know, but he's better justified in the second game. Like, the things you're saying about him in the first game, I totally feel.
Sure.
But they do a good job of, like, coming in and fixing that
later. Sure, like Star Wars rules, talk about the media at hand.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the extended universe here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I forgot how much this game sets up the second one.
Oh, sure.
In like a whoa, everything here, like, sort of way.
Well, they have, like, a three-game arc planned.
I definitely got that feel after playing the first one again, was like, oh yeah, there's probably more of this. Like...
Sure.
The
expectation when the first game came out is, like, am I gonna fight Mecha Hitler at the end?
Right.
And, like, the first game... You kinda do.
Yeah.
You almost do. You fight a Mecha thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, weird, it's not Mecha Hitler? Like, you kind of knew it was gonna be your friend all along, mm-hmm. right, when you crack it open. But it's like, oh, weird, so Mecha Hitler's not in this game, huh? You know, but then, like, also, it's like, they're setting the stage, like, okay, so we can put a brain on a robot and make it fight you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know we're not, like, talking about the second game, but, like, in the second game, Hitler's in that game. He's old and dying. Mm-hmm. And also, like, they get into, like, weird head transplant technology mm-hmm. in that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, guess who the boss of the next game's gonna be?
Yeah.
It's fucking Hitler's head on a giant robot.
There's a lot of weird-ass foreshadowing in the first game.
Okay.
And it made me realize there's a lot of stuff that's foreshadowed in the first game that wasn't in the second game in a way that was like, oh shit, there's more.
But it is in the third game?
Well, no, we don't know, right? But, like, if there's a third game, they have lots to work with still in a way that's really cool.
Keenan, do you see any parallel to Blazkowicz's portrayal in this to, like, Captain America?
Yeah, totally.
He on his face appears to be the Aryan ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's this, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, square, like, lantern-jawed, handsome man who can fight fucking anybody.
More importantly, can literally survive anything.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I wanted to bring up is this game right off the bat and throughout the rest of it reminds you, you're goddamn invincible. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, really.
Last of Us cannot be killed in a meaningful
way. In a really, like, sometimes there's torture porn sort of way. Like,
oh, totally.
I love how Booby is straight up like, there's something wrong with your cerebral cortex right yeah. before you stab him three times well, in the head. Yeah, no, I understood it. As soon as
they just
like,
keep
cool,
like,
cool, thanks, Hitler.
No, like, they keep giving you, like, reasons that he is the way he is, but at the same time, yeah. like, it's just not, no, no, like.
I just love it because, like, Captain America and Superman, for that matter, are both, like, characters that are like, almost meant to fly in the face of their oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like Captain America is what the Nazis wish they were.
Well, and they even play with that theme even more, like, they dig into Blazkowicz being that more and more and more as the games go
well,
on.
Well, do you
like,
remember what I was saying earlier about, I understand what you're saying, but I believe you have reached the wrong conclusion?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's... Yes, that's Captain America.
Yeah.
Right? I want to talk briefly about how the shotgun in this game literally made me nauseous with its fucking 45-degree angle of attack.
Oh, really?
I hated it.
So, I have a bone to pick with the shotgun in this game, and it's that the shotgun in this game is extremely powerful, and it never feels powerful.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
It feels like shit.
Yeah.
It feels like shit to use, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And I chalk it up to it being a video game shotgun, and video game shotguns aren't allowed to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like spears in anime. Like, if you're picking up a spear, automatically you can't be the main character.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking sucks. I hate it, because spears and shotguns are way cool. Anyway, just briefly wanted to touch on that and how disgusting that is. Before, I wanted to ask you guys, how'd you like the music?
So we're good.
Yes. I mean, it's music that is not noticeable or notable in the way that you enjoy it and experience it and don't think about it, and it's not distracting.
So you
it's just like
let it wash over you.
It's like the way camera work in a film should be, where great camera work is when you don't notice it at all.
Sure. I mean, there's times where you can break that rule, but generally,
sure,
yes.
Yeah. But like, if you're watching a movie and the movie ever makes you think like, whoa, cool camera work, is like, I don't know, are you sure? Are you sure the camera work's not distracting you right now?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I definitely think that. You know, what we were just talking about, how, like, you know, most of the time it should be in the background, but yeah. every so often it should, like, announce itself and
well, especially in cutscenes.
And
like,
enunciate a movement. So remember in Doom with the shotgun and the at the same time,
yeah.
like, that's a point where that rule gets broken in a very good way.
But I think in that situation, I think a lot of times people won't consciously notice that. Like I know my
experience. We did, right?
I know, so I played the Doom demo when it came out, and sure. then I bought Doom and played through it again, played through it from the start. The first time I played through, I definitely just didn't notice, and I was just like, yeah, shotgun time, buddy.
Okay.
Like, let's roll. Like I was, like, in that moment.
Sure.
But, like the music becomes very noticeable in this game, like, in the cutscenes, and I think
yeah.
that's fine, because it's, like, that's, like, a bit where you step back and become, like, less immersed and more cinematic.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's interesting that the music is very different in combat and in cutscenes,
oh, totally.
Too.
Yeah.
It's this very, like,
it's very
really somber stuff.
More than, like, tender. You know
yeah.
it's like that soft guitar.
Yeah. And then, like, when you're fucking plowing through seven Nazis, it's like fucking Mick Gordon is halfway to Doom
sure.
with the action music in this game. Like,
how do you feel about BJ's inner monologue?
I like that he thinks
it's super hokey.
No, it's super hokey, but like, I like that he thinks it, like, because like,
he thinks it's so cool.
He thinks it's so cool. He thinks it's so legit. And the way all the characters around him are written, like, if they could hear inside his head, they'd
like,
be like,
you dork.
Are you fucking for real?
it's that for me, and it also scratches the Max Payne itch that I have.
Sure.
For like,
yeah,
bad
totally.
Inner dialogue.
Yeah.
In a way that was like, I forgot about this coming into this game again.
How many Simon Vicklins?
But also, like... but also, like... I was like... I know this is bad, but it's bad in a way I need right now. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely
like,
delicious.
Like, it's honest with itself.
I was talking with...
Sometimes Christmas, sometimes birthdays.
Breathe in.
Shut up. Oh, man! That just reminded me of, like, maybe my favorite graphical tech in this game is when you're on the fucking night train and you have the tray with the coffees.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a reactive coffee
water.
Tray
yeah,
in
water,
front of
yeah.
you as you carry your coffees over to mm-hmm. Anya. And fucking Frau Engel with that like, fucked up, like, Voight-Kampff test she
yep,
does on
yeah.
you. It's a... it's this like completely arbitrary like she even like says afterwards, like, I'm just fucking with you. Yeah. But that's what those like, whether it's like racial purity or party purity or whatever, it's completely bullshit, arbitrary thing.
So the thing that this game does really, really well about Nazis and about that situation is it takes these things we know from history and pushes them into an even further extreme, mm-hmm. right? This society seems really cool if you're white and not Jewish and etc., and you can ignore the shit out of horrible shit that's come to it.
Also, like, even being white and non-Jewish, like, isn't enough. Like,
right.
At the end of the game, when you go, like, fucking chop up Frau Engel. That's the second game.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Spoilers, dude.
I think of these games as one.
But
I apologize.
There's so much in this game that, like, the camp sequence is this thing where it's like, yes, now they're getting to other people besides Jews into the camps.
Sure.
But, like, it's more so there than
Czechoslovakia, dude.
Yes. But it's more so there than what we've seen in the past and other things, because it's the 60s and they've already chewed through most of
I'm sorry. It's a personal pet peeve of mine that more Czechs died than nobody cares.
Fair.
So.
I wasn't taught that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it in any way.
That's what I'm saying, is I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the, like, all...
And homosexuals and Roma people.
Sure.
And,
right. But I'm not fucking saying that those didn't happen. I'm just saying...
Right.
Like, no, but my point's to Keenan.
Right. Yeah. No, and I can't deny any of that, right? But the thing about this game is it takes all of those things and it puts them right in your face in a way that, like, most games I don't think would have even tried. And I appreciate that
about
it. Yeah,
there's a certain courage there.
Like, maybe the most chilling part of when you get thrown in the camps is, like, it's all very, very streamlined and uniform, which, mm-hmm. like, at least my understanding of, like, how concentration camps were, like, handled and processed during the war is, or during the Third Reich, I should say, is like, it's actually not as uniform as everyone comes to expect. You think every concentration camp survivor is going to have a tattoo on their arm.
Right.
Some of them don't. Some of them have tattoos on their chest. Some of them don't.
Right.
You know, like this and that. And it's like, it's really half-assed. Not half-assed, but it's like, it's just all over the place.
Right, whereas like, in this game, it's the 60s and it's all been streamlined that's like corporate.
You put your
weird
arm in the machine, you get tattooed.
Yeah.
They have a conveyor belt factory furnace for incinerating corpses.
They're literally conveying you in like meat.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's all these things in those sequences.
Was there a reason why BJ chopped the numbers off of his arm?
I mean, like,
there's not like a stated reason. They use it as a "fuck you Nazis" moment.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I think it would have been more powerful again with the lunar gun.
Right, sure.
To have a touchstone of that moment.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I mean,
so in later games, you know, like when he reaches up with his left hand.
I honestly think
if you see those three numbers there.
No, I think, like, narratively, if they had kept it, it would be way more interesting.
Better. I don't know if I think it'd be better. Like, I think it's also still a good character moment for him, because, like, if any of the three of us had been unwillingly tattooed by Nazis.
You're sure.
Like what is your reaction to that mark on your body?
Right.
This goes back to Pillars of Eternity, mm-hmm. right? It's like Grieving Mother asked the question, you know, if you had the ability to make someone forget their trauma, would you, even though that trauma is what makes them the person that they are,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, which one is like, more ethical? Which one should
doing it to someone else or doing it to yourself?
Doing it to someone else. But, like, you could do it to yourself, too. Right? Okay. So, like, I'm not saying you need to answer this question right now.
That's have traumas I wouldn't mind forgetting.
Sure, but I'm saying like that just asking the question, right? Like, so for me, I think that there's value in remembering them because they are what made you what you are, right?
Yeah.
So
I counterpoint, BJ's not about to forget about the Nazis. Sure, he still lives on.
Sure, him. Sure, but the player is about to, like, the player is a very flighty and forgetful and irresponsible person.
Sure.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Like also amusingly, like, if you look at the him carving off his scar from his arm from, like, a realism perspective,
mm-hmm.
like, he is going to have, like, a fucking ginormous
massive
scar on his arm.
Scar on his arm instead.
Like, the
right?
size of, like, a fucking hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he never has any scars from anything except for that time a castle blew up.
Yeah, yeah. The one time he got a scar.
Yeah. A castle blew up in his brain.
I think he has a shirt off in the second one. There's lots of fucking scars on him, but yeah, like...
Actually, that's a really good point.
Yeah, like... like, the thing about BJ is that, like, he takes all this damage, And part of the thing about why BJ's this, like, weird, messed up, tortured dude is because he's literally, like...
Well, do you remember how the fight with Death's Head ends?
Yeah.
Death's Head sets off a frag grenade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, ruins his the lower half of his body, yep. And he crawls with his hands away from that, and, like, they definitely picked that up next game.
Yeah, like, I didn't realize...
I hate to keep talking about the next game, but, like, that's, wait, like, a thing that happened in this game. And
I seem,
like,
to remember... Most of one arm was missing. Oh, both of his legs were missing, and then a whole nother arm was missing, and then the top of his head was missing. Are you saying he survived that?
I don't remember.
That's
playing
not
that
as
that
deep
way.
As it was yeah. online.
Okay, that's what I remember.
He's well, just like gut mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly, his, like his limbs are
his
still
organs
there.
Are fucked up.
Okay,
like you're in a wheelchair for the first third of the game.
No. I was saying Death's Head. Not.
Oh no, he's
no,
fucking
no,
gone.
No. I'm talking about Blastoise.
BJ.
Okay.
No, BJ is a fucking like. His guts are hanging
okay.
out in the
okay,
last
Okay, so that's very comforting of, like, why we had such disparate memories of this. We were actually talking about different things. No, Death's Head's,
no,
fucking,
Death's Head's fucking done. Like,
I'm talking about Blaskowitz.
Oh, yeah. No, he's fine.
Like, I'm just saying, no, he's not.
He's not fine.
You literally start with half hit points for, like, the first chunk.
Oh, yeah,
of the
half
game.
Hit points. Yep.
no, but, like...
No, I get what you're saying, but he's still, like, he's an invincible murder machine. That's my point.
Kind of. And, like, you're like, how do you tell the player that Blaskowitz is fucked up? Is, like, you take away his mobility, and you take away his fucking invincible hit points. You know, and, like, whatever. Yeah. It's a conversation for another day. Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to talk about just this game and not the second one, too. Like,
yeah.
They definitely feel... They feel like they're delivering on what fucking Half-Life 2 always said it was going to do with the episodes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it actually feels episodic and not just, like, discrete games.
Right.
Because
with writing that actually goes somewhere.
Well, and also, like, releasing on a faster time frame with more content.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The J.J. Abrams of video games.
Yeah, man. What the fuck? This game. So weird. That it's good-ish.
Anything else to say?
Is this the new B game?
Yeah, except it's a 60. I mean, it's a $60 game. I feel
right,
like a B,
like,
game can't be full price.
I feel like it's a B game in that, like, it doesn't.
Are you
need
saying
to be...
a thing from the Bombcast that I don't know because I don't listen
no?
to that?
No, like, so we don't have B grade games anymore. Like, the way of B movies, like, we don't have a PsyOps
Vermintide,
the Mind Gate Conspiracy.
Vermintide. Was $40.
Yeah, actually, that's like.
Well, like, price point isn't necessarily what a B grade game is to me.
Sure.
Like, B grade game is like. It's doing these things, and it might be lacking in a narrative, or it might be lacking in a tech, or it
Vermintide.
Might be, like, absolutely.
No,
I mean,
no, no, you're right about Vermintide, but we also don't have a lot of.
We don't have a lot of B grade
sure.
games.
Sure.
And I think like this is the B movie game if there is one.
Sure.
In that it's like Nazi hellscape, go fucking kill them all, like kind of thing.
Sure.
Huh. Okay. Awards time?
Yeah. It is the Not Real Game Awards, which is the part where we say the names of things we like to allude to a non-specific aesthetic.
I don't
and
like
then...
the way you describe that because I don't like Jeff Bezos.
Things we know. to allude to a non-specific aesthetic and then give it a number grade, give the game we played a number grade based on how well it fulfills that non-specific aesthetic. First on the docket is Todd... Bertram Howard. I don't know if that's his middle name. It's probably not.
Todd Bethesda Howard.
I mean, does he get 1 point for
being a Bethesda game?
I guess we have to. Like, cause, like, there's so many games where we give it zeros, and this is one that, like, probably should get at least a little bit.
But it's,
I mean,
so,
there's
like...
there's a little bit of, like, with the problems I had with the game, there's a little bit of that sort of,
that's
like,
fair.
Cardboard sort of Bethesda-ness. Cardboard's maybe not the right word, but do you understand what I'm saying? The sort of, like, that, oh, Bethesda jank to it. Yeah.
I guess. I never felt like anything was janky in it, in the way I come to think of it with regards to Bethesda games. Like the times where the game, like, didn't succeed or failed, it wasn't because, like, mechanically or systematically under the hood something broke.
Mm.
It was just that, like, they thought this button would be more noticeable than it fucking is.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Or they didn't put in the right dialogue in your radio to be like, go push the button.
Yeah, yeah. Or a combat isn't visually readable.
Right.
Like, in the way it should be.
I'm good at one.
Yeah, yeah.
One is fine.
I feel good at one.
One Todd Howard.
Brandon Chung, sitting at a zero over here.
I'm going to give it like a two, because Brandon Chung loves immersive first-person shit in his games.
Like, what are you talking about?
Like, carrying a fucking tray with a pair of coffees on it, or, like, operating a cement machine in a concentration camp, like...
There is a lot of weird, like, slice-of-life shit
All the stuff that's not a shooter, I want to give it two, at least.
You talked me to one.
Okay. Where are you at, Kenan?
I think it's also... I think, too, because the whole world is doing its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too. Like, it's like... And there's a lot of, like, weird, goofy shit going on in their world.
Yeah. Okay. I can go with two.
Nina Freeman. Again, I sit at zero.
Yeah. I could be convinced to give it a one, but I don't think so.
Yeah, zero.
Simon Vicklund.
Oh, this is a four.
Five.
Simon Vicklund didn't score this, so I can't give it a five.
Yeah, I feel like that's an unnecessary and never going to be fulfilled requirement. I don't think the games need to have the creators in them to get a five.
Okay, I'm still giving it a four.
Sure.
So it's up to Keenan.
Yeah, I'm going five. It's big and dumb and awful, and I love it.
All right. Jay Sawyer.
Like a one or a two.
Well, I mean, there is the narrative that's going through here, and the characters
there are some quite actual strong. Characters.
The characters are very strong.
And it's definitely a fleshed out world that, like, I want.
You were saying the little tidbits.
Yeah, like, I want to learn more than just what they give me. Like there's all these, you see, like, newspaper snippets that, like, show you, like, events in, like, the 20 years that you missed while you were in the hospital.
Most of them are military events in this game.
Well, sure.
Most of them are, like, this battle, this surrender, this, that.
But they always feel real.
Yeah.
You know, it always feels real and lived in. Like, they talk about things that, like, have, like, almost no impact on you. On, like, fucking China's resolution.
Yeah, Japan.
I love that.
You know, like that stuff, like, makes the whole world feel very
real.
Well,
and even, like, on a character-to-character standpoint, like, in the first game, it doesn't make a lot of sense why BJ and Wheelchair Lady are comparing their fucking injuries like it's contest. But that's because she's in the prequel game, like...
Actually, that's, like, a weird thing. I looked into that, because, like, I didn't play the last Wolfenstein game.
Okay.
And she's from that.
Yeah.
And I had been told by a friend of mine that, like, this game actually plays into the timeline of that game, which is, like, not true. Because fucking Caroline Becker dies in that game, and it is, like, a fundamentally incompatible timeline. So it's like some, like, reboot type shit where it's like, okay. We carried over this character, people like her, but, like, it's not...
Is she from 2009?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, like, people like Caroline Becker. Caroline Becker's in this game. She's not quite how you remember her.
Yeah.
And, like, I like that there are all these characters that BJ knows that there is clearly a history and an understanding between them, including the villain in the first game.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Like, clearly, BJ and Death's Head have some fucking history, right? Because even, like, in the airplane at the beginning of the game, you're like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I'm gonna fucking kill this dude, like... There's this weird, like...
Yeah, but like, I never got the sense that he knew him personally. It's more just like...
Yeah.
Every soldier going to Normandy knows that we need to kill fucking Himmler.
Right.
Okay.
You know, like, and everyone knows Himmler by name, and everyone knows what he looks like. That doesn't mean, like, every soldier, like, on the fucking drop boats has, like, met Himmler and has, like, a personal beef.
Like, beef with him.
Okay,
but
so...
But he does say, I remember you, in the torture chamber when he cuts out...
Does he? Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember.
He goes, I remember you, you're special. Right.
Okay.
So, and that to me said something like, I was like, oh, is Totenkopf the reason I can't die? Like, did he experiment on me or some shit?
I wonder if Death's Head's actually in the last game, in the 09 one.
Maybe.
He probably is.
Yeah.
So, we need a number for J.E. Sawyer.
Two? I'd give it a two.
Two? Really? Just two? I feel like three. Because it's, like, you're saying all this shit, like, the only Jay Sawyer thing we're missing is, like, really, really enmeshed RPG mechanics.
Yeah. Like, actually, that reminds me of a thing.
Mm.
I'm going to totally derail the Real Game World stuff for a minute. Like, I was thinking about the two timeline stuff, the Fergus versus Wyatt
thing. Yeah.
And, like, at first I was, like, kind of lukewarm on that as, like, a game design choice, because, like, ultimately... the game doesn't change very much.
No.
Like, basically, like, it's like a few scenes, and, like, what voice is talking to you over your radio.
Right.
Is, like we, if you write it down in a bullet point list, like, those are
the They changes. Are completely replaceable by each other. In a way that...
But I especially with, like, Kentucky Route Zero, I've been thinking more about, like, even just being presented with a choice, even if it's, like, a choice of not an enormous consequence, it still makes the things you see and the things you interact feel more authentic.
Yeah, okay.
And so, like even though it's, like, this very minor it thing...
It invests you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were saying last time when we were talking about Kentucky
Route Zero... It invests you, and it also, it makes it feel less like you're on an amusement park ride where just cardboard props are popping up.
It allows you a sense of ownership to what's going on because you've made the choices that got you
here. Even if it's just in this really minor thing. Yeah,
de-theme park rides
a
little bit. Remember, last time you were saying that you read an interview or watched an interview...
It was a thing on Josh Sawyer's thing. With Jay Sawyer, where that's talking, what made me...
He was talking about the minor dialogue really matters even if it doesn't affect the game.
Yeah, even if it doesn't have, like, branching endings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, three.
Three.
Yeah, three. Okay.
Okay. Jeff Bezos. Owen's favorite award.
I'm just get zero Jeff Bezos.
Why? There's fucking Nazis all over it. How do you feel?
I think it's a one or a two based on the, like, bullshit corporate overlord shit going on in this game. Like,
sure.
I stand by my zero. All
right.
You're always just trying to goad me with this.
Like, I'll go with a one. But, like, I think there are things to be acknowledged here in a Jeff Bezos angle from our perspective.
Sure. One, then.
Okay.
Turnout!
I don't know. Zero.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Nope.
There's nothing in here for that kind of gameplay.
I feel like Tarn wouldn't be offended. Like,
yeah, no, he'd definitely be like, yo, it's all work, guys.
Yeah, that's about right.
Although I would say, remember you were saying Tarn Adams would fit as an NPC in Kentucky Route Zero? Yeah. I think he, with a little bit of jiggering, could fit.
Yeah, he's almost there. He's, like, almost there.
Could fit as an NPC in BJ Blazkowicz land. Jake Solomon. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of zero on this one.
Yeah, I am too. Like, there's a lot of guns in it, and there are also in XCOM.
but again, what you were saying, like, oh, when I fail stealth, I don't restart the game.
Well, there's not, like, an investment in any of these characters in the same, like, I've been through stuff as a player.
And also, it's not, like, personally created.
Right. It's all
artifact.
Well, if Marilyn died, I'd be like, oh. Okay, well, I guess the story is doing that, right? I wouldn't be like, oh, no!
And, like,
right?
The thing about this game that I like is the people who die, like, they don't die at points where it feels unnecessary. Like, they die at these crescendo points in the game where it makes sense, right? Like, there's bad shit going on and people die, and that's part of what fucking happens, you know? Like,
Whatever the fuck the name is of Max Haas' adoptive dad.
Yeah. The Nazi.
Dead Nazi friend.
Yeah.
Dead friend Nazi. How many cardboard computers do we need to ship to the guys who made Wolfenstein?
I don't know. This is like zero.
I think we're at zero. There's no, like... Well... Because there's a lot of, like, weird shit. Like, fucking magician Jewish guys with... Does that count? I don't know.
You mean, like, the Das Yahud?
Yeah. I
mean, we didn't really talk about them much.
No, we didn't. But, like, there's, like, weird shit happening in the back, like, weird, surreal shit.
Like, the fact that, like, literally the foundation of the entire Nazi world empire is crumbling because it's made out of stolen Jewish technology. Mm-hmm. Literally the cement...
Made out of sabotage stolen Jewish technology. Literally
the cement their empire is built on is crumbling because of this. It's rotting because...
I'm going to go with one.
Because they did it wrong.
I'm going to go with one cardboard computer.
Okay.
Because the whole, like, even just the world being run by Nazis is, like, weird, surreal, metaphysical shit, right? Like,
also, you sit in a wheelchair for 14 fucking years and don't lose muscle mass? Cardboard computer, that shit.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what that is.
Nope, he's an electro-robot skeleton man.
This is video games, yo.
It is my solemn duty to ask you, do we need to add another award?
I don't think so.
Okay. And it's not necessarily...
I think everything, almost everything this game brings to the table is covered by the Simon Vicklund Award.
Yeah. As evidenced by me ham-fisting in a five there. We in the denouement. We already talked about virtual reality extensively. Yeah. We'll talk about that again in the future.
Oh, yeah, I didn't play Flotilla 2 at all.
Did you buy it?
I bought it, and then on Friday night, I didn't want to clean my room enough to play VR. So I just sat on my ass and played different games.
That's pretty funny. And then, where can they find us?
If you want to tell us about the plot and differences, and irreconcilable differences of Wolfenstein 2009... You can contact us at badplaystyle@gmail.com.
I am actually hella interested in that. I'm going to go read up
on that. That's like a wiki I'm going to go find, right?
I opened up the wiki and looked at the Caroline Becker article, and I was like, oh, wow, this is not quite what I expected.
Yeah, okay.
Keenan, what's our Twitter account?
@badplaystyle.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's helmed by Keenan most of the time.
We received an engagement. Should we...
A single person commented on our thing on Reddit.
Yeah, we should talk about it because we want to encourage this kind of
thing. Yay!
So what did this person say? I assume it's male because it's the internet. But...
Yeah, because...
And I'm a horrible person, but... this is, I believe, episode 30.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
Which means we have to...
End a season and...
We have to end a season. Hats. If my math is correct, it's Keenan again.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody have anything to say about that?
I'm not surprised.
Okay. Are you?
Sorry, I didn't know I was...
It's okay.
I wanted to say one other thing about Wolfenstein that's really neat for me.
Sure.
The name of their resistance group is the name of the resistance group of the guy I'm related to who got killed by Nazis for starting a resistance group.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's neat. If you see Nazis, you should fight them.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to briefly touch on, I had an experience recently where I booted up, XCOM 2, and I really wanted to play XCOM 2. I was super jazzed to do it. I was super jazzed to play that game. I was like, oh yeah, that game's super fun. And I had like a game that I was midway through, and then all my mods were out of date. And none of them had been updated, and I lost all desire to just instantly flaccid.
Yeah, I had something like that happen where I tried to play Long War once, and it was incompatible with my cosmetic mods that actually mean a lot to me.
Sure.
Because my character pool depends on them.
Right.
And if I can't bring my character pool, I ain't playing your mod.
Right. It's amazing to me how much cosmetics mean to me. Right, because they're just like stupid little. Mm-hmm.
Well, especially in a game like XCOM, because like they define what little we have about these people who we care about.
Sure. Right. But like I was like back in the day, there was like a certain combination of aesthetic or cosmetics that I could do, and I think it was the soldier where I could have like his face covered and then two pairs of sunglasses over where his eyes should be.
Nice.
And that was my look. But then they, like, changed the way the summer sunglasses could interact with other stuff, and it was suddenly incompatible, and I was like, I felt very...
You took away my thing.
They took away, yeah, they took away my thing. Did you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Have fun editing this. So this is from user 21W4.
Mm-hmm.
They said they liked the first 3 minutes of our Kentucky Route Zero discussion, and we have great insights in the first 3 minutes.
Well, I hope that you listen to the other 137 minutes.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Because if you do, there's a special prize for you.
Yeah, there's a special prize for you, and I don't know.
Hey, yeah, we did promise that.
Yeah, we did. Like, we did. So if he contacts us, we'll do it. We're not Welchers.
So I think there's 3 points of order I have here.
Okay.
One, this is actually a sequel to that 2009 Wolfenstein game. I just looked it up. That's fucking weird.
It's supposed to be a sequel? Then how is Becker alive?
I don't know, man.
So I've heard that said, too. I think that's bullshit.
There's some shit in the wiki about it being, like, an alternate dimension. It's dumb like shit.
This is like that shit with the Zelda stuff.
Yep.
Nintendo put out the fucking book that talks about how all the timelines in Zelda are like linked together.
Right.
But it's like this fan theory that Nintendo then like adopted as being true.
But has huge holes in it.
Yeah. So number two. We already talked about it a little bit. BJ versus Sam Fisher.
Well, okay, so was this your... Because this literally, that's the last thing that happens on the podcast.
Well, there's one more thing, which is I announced the next game. But that's the end.
No, you should say that now, because... Yeah, you should say... What game are we
playing? How does Sam Fisher keep moving?
No,
I don't understand.
It's the last thing, and I just told you that. Why aren't you listening to me?
Because it hasn't always been.
It's always been. What is... The
next game we're going to play is Metro 2033 Redux.
Okay. I'm excited about that.
Cool.
Because I played the original, like, way back.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to play
it. It's like Stalker, apparently, but not.
It's Russian. Yeah. What were you going to say, Owen? No, you had nothing? Okay, so Sam Fisher versus.
Sam Fisher versus?
Sam Fisher versus BJ Blazkowicz. Where are they fighting?
It doesn't matter.
It was my game. I get to pick. I get to pick what the scenario is. Okay, so so it's a defense. So BJ Blazkowicz is in a Nazi castle that he just killed everyone in.
Okay,
and he's at the top of it, chilling, waiting for his helicopter. And Sam Fisher has to kill him. Okay. Has to get there and kill him.
Okay,
so
bad news. BJ Blazkowicz is mad invincible, bro. You get fucked up. Like, yeah, you jumped up and you stabbed him, and he doesn't care because he got stabbed 8 times this week, and he fucking kills
you.
But
you think he could, like, shoot out a chandelier in his head or something?
No, I give it, like, a 50-50.
50-50? You think it's, like, a coin flip?
I know that's, like, a cop-out, but, like, because, like, if Sam Fisher, like, I think this is, like, maybe one of the times where, like, Sam Fisher can, like, execute well. Like it's, like, yeah. A big empty environment, and he needs to shoot another human with a gun until he dies.
Right.
And, like, yeah, Sam Fisher can, like, fucking skulk around.
Yeah.
Also, BJ Blazkowicz is invincible, can run 85 miles an hour, and has access to all kinds of weird fucked up guns.
And is a human truck.
Like, yeah.
Look, so the point of the scenario I just gave you is that BJ has already picked up all the power-ups and
yeah.
weapon. Like, he has his full arsenal, and he's at 225 and 100 armor, and he's good.
Yeah.
Right?
But then his laser craft work has all the upgrades.
Right, right. But at the same time, Sam has the ability to choose the point of engagement yeah. and plan this whole thing out.
So, I might give it to Sam.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to... The listeners won't know about this. Matt here, the other day, posed on Facebook a dilemma of who would win in a fight, Thomas the Tank Engine or Clifford the Red Dog.
Okay.
And
it was a good conversation, by the way.
So
I had it with the kids, and I thought I'd just break the Facebook.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't really want to tear into my thought process in that thread.
Okay.
Because it's like...
Well, why not? But anyway,
it's exhausting to argue on Facebook.
Okay.
Especially since, like...
I hope you'll note that I did not argue at any point. I just posted facts and figures.
No, it's more that, like, every time I reply to a thing, an infinite number of people can jump into the reply to
right.
that. And just thinking about that, like, makes me fucking tired. Thomas the Tank Engine runs on rails. He doesn't get to choose when and where he fights Clifford.
Right.
Clifford also only needs to bump him off the rails a little bit. And I think in this way... Thomas the Tank Engine is very like BJ Blazkowicz.
Yeah, right.
That, like, he's just a freight train rolling around. And Sam Fisher is the one who gets to jump out of a closet and shoot him in the ear with a
all
gun.
Sam right. needs is a penny, right? In the right place. Like,
right.
Or, like, fucking electrocute him or
so
whatever.
So just to reiterate, we did... some. My initial calculations were totally wrong. Mm-hmm. And we did some more calculations. Apparently, there is an official size stated from, like, official sources about how big Clifford is.
I think that's bullshit.
Even though the art is totally inconsistent, there is an official size stated. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you base that and you do the density of a normal Labrador and then do the weight calculations, there's no fucking way Clifford loses.
Yeah.
It's,
well, like, yeah. I was just thinking, like also, like, when you, like, put that number in, it was like, so, like, mammals are, like, 98% water or
right.
whatever. Like, if Thomas the Tank Engine ran into a piece of ice the size of Clifford, Thomas the Tank Engine would fucking crumple.
Yeah.
You know, or like a tank, like if a tidal wave the size of Clifford hit Thomas, like he'd be done.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
We're on Clifford.
Cool.
Wow, this podcast really fucking
Sam
went
Fisher
off the rails
kinda wins,
at the end.
I think.
Sam Fisher, he finally won.
Yeah.
He finally won. Because BJ is so fucking stupid, and like you said, he's on rails, he's a freight train.
And like, yeah. like I'll give him the win, but for like in my head, it's just like, I don't know. Like, it's a unstoppable force. And
also, like, Sam Fisher excels at disposing of people who run at a target and shoot.
Right.
And that is what BJ does.
People who are dumb as hell.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing is, you know, BJ, he's one step up from, like, Time Crisis rail shooter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's one order of complexity higher than that, right? So, yeah. Whereas, cool. you know, Sam can run through the vents and shit.
Yeah. Or, like, airstrike him or whatever.
Whatever needs to happen. Yeah.
Cool.
Good
job, Sam.
Thanks for joining us. On September the 12th, Shame Boy runs out, and on September the 25th, Chapstick runs out. Owen is not getting a new nickname. Keenan is. He now
and
has,
gets another one after that.
Yeah, he's got two in the chamber. So, just keeping you guys updated on that. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please go listen to the Kentucky Route Zero thing, or the Kentucky Route Zero episode. If you listen to the whole thing, there's a special prize for you at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except podcasts receive treasure.
Bye, friends.
2006 You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206